the truth of that. Amen. Jesus paid it all.
Yes, he did.
If he hadn't paid it all, then you and I had to pay something. What if he said, Jesus paid it all but $1 million? Most of us would be left out, wouldn't we? But Jesus did pay it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming and worshiping with us today here at Barbie's Grove. So glad you're here. We've got a good group this morning. If you're out in the parking lot, we welcome you. If you're listening later on the website, we welcome you to come and worship with us together. If you're listening later on the website, you might want to get a little... go ahead and say amen. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of preaching, that's the way I feel like doing too. We're so glad to be in the Lord's house and enjoy it. And just remember, we're going to talk about it, enjoying it in a few moments. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We know you love us, and we thank you for that love. We do thank you that Jesus did pay it all. Everything to wipe away our sin in the precious blood. Thank you that all we have to do is accept. Just believe that Christ died for us, that he was buried, that he rose again, and proclaim him as our Lord and Savior, and we have everlasting life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Father, we are grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're listening to see what he has to say today. We thank you that you have the wisdom and the power to meet the needs of each person that's participating in this service, whether it's online or whether it's in person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Good-looking crowd this morning. It sure, certainly is. Hey, let's sing a hymn sing. Why don't we do that? Let's sing. This hymn that we're going to sing, if I had to pick top five, this would be in it for me. I love this song because thank God for his faithfulness. Aren't you? Aren't you glad for it? Amen. I'll tell you that. So great is thy faithfulness. Let's all stand and sing together. If this doesn't bless you, then you maybe your blesser may be needing work. You know, let's do it. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Welcome someone this morning. It is a pleasure to be in God's house this morning. It is good to be here. I want to thank a couple of people who helped me out since I was gone last week. And I want to thank Kathy for the music, and Gregory, wherever you are, you're back here somewhere, for teaching for me and all of that. And the pastor, you carrying on with the announcements. And I do thank you. We went up and celebrated my granddaughter's birthday, 22 years old. That doesn't seem possible either, but that's how old she is. That makes me feel older. And that's okay. That's the natural order of things. But it is good to be here this morning. It's good to be here. Good to see you this morning. I have some announcements for you I'd like to share with you at this point in time. Today's a very important time in the life of our church. We will be having communion at the end of the service today. So if you haven't already picked up one of these, we are still going to use these little packets that we started with COVID, from back when COVID was so rampant. But if you don't have one, we'll certainly make arrangements for you to get one. Upcoming events that we've got coming up, the following will be happening during the month of August. August 6th, deacon election. Be praying for about that. Keep in your mind who you want to, and think about God leading leadership. And the nominating committee will be presenting there for you to approve as well. All the upcoming teachers and officers for the next coming year will be presenting those to you August the 6th as well. So pray for those. And I want to again thank all of those who've accepted your positions and all those who accepted new positions. I'm excited about that. So that's back. Okay. Now, I've got a couple things, something new I want to share with you. Back to school bash for youth and children. And I'm going to just read this because I'm getting caught up on it myself. We'll be hosting back to school bash on Sunday, August the 13th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. here at the church. We will have a water slide, serve hot dogs, hamburgers, and ice cream. Please make plans to join us. If not only for the kids, adults are welcome. So come and join. Alternative date will be August the 19th in case of rain or whatever. So be sure you do that. Now, right here in front of me right now, you may have noticed something new here being accumulated here. It's for Undie Sunday. That's a cute little way of putting it, but it's going to be for the children again. It's for the children for ages, and all ages and all sizes, for underwear, socks, undershirts, for girls and boys of all ages. Sponsored, I believe, by the Stanley Montgomery Association. Is that where that's being sponsored, I believe? So let's be sure. So, and it's now, you can bring it now through the 13th. So bring your gifts now through the 13th, and that'll cover that. Have I missed any announcements at this point? Okay, all right then. Let's go to our prayer requests, and we do have quite a few of those this morning. I want to remember those who are going to be doing some traveling, our pastor being one of them. Let's remember Pastor Ed as he's going to make the long journey. And you're going to be by yourself this time, brother. And it's going to be, I know when I made those long trips by myself, I talk to myself, and once in a while I get a smart answer. So you'll be all right. So keep praying for Pastor Ed as he goes on this trip. And let's remember Jeff's brother-in-law. He asked me to remember him this morning, Jeff Kay. He has a detached retina, and he's going through surgery. Julius, could you bring me up to date on that? It's his name is Wes McNeil. Okay, all righty. So Lori's not here this morning, so bring us up. But anyway, he wanted to be sure that we pray for Wes McNeil. So he is on our prayer list, and for sure. I want to give you an update on Jeff Harville, my son. He did go through his test last Thursday, and he did fine. They found some blockage, but it was severe, and so they sent him right back home. So that's a good thing with them. Let's remember our former mayor of Oakburgh, Joyce Little. She's battling cancer, as you know, and she's really had some not so great news in the last few weeks, and so let's remember her. We've been asked to remember also the churches in our association, and of course all over without pastors. Let's remember those churches for sure. Let's remember Rita's mom. Rita, you give up there, and your mom, she's doing?
She's doing very well. They were able to get her started on that antiviral medicine.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for all the prayers.
Okay.
You know, continue to pray for the facility because it is still
Yeah. Okay. Let's remember Frances Mason. She's also battling cancer. Betty, would you bring us up on Francis Pope's son-in-law? Isn't he ill? I got a call on that, but I didn't get his name.
Are you talking about Glenda's husband?
Yeah, be Glenda's husband. Bobby, is his name Bobby?
Bobby Jordan.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry I didn't get all the information. My service did not pick it all up, so all I had was that. Okay. Let's remember Aunt Bertie. Tonda, you want to give us how's she doing? Something about the same? Okay. Let's remember her. And Betty, it's good to see you okay after your fall. And
you
probably not ready to do any line dancing right now, but you'll be all right. It's good to see you, Betty. Good to know you're okay. Good to know you're okay. And then, okay, that's all I have. Anybody have any additions you want to add to the list? Yes?
Different. I think a lot of you know my sister Brenda's daughter, Kim McElwain.
Uh-huh.
She had an accident. She slid, and she tore her ACL totally off the bone.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Kim McElwain.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got that. Angela, where are you, dear? Are you okay?
I feel good. Well, the last blood test I had, they're going to send me to a neurology and do more tests because the last medicine I was on for thyroid, I broke out. And so the doctor's going to send me to a neurology. Don't know when yet. But for more tests,
okay. All right, dear. Well, you know that we're still praying. Keep praying for you.
Now, I didn't get a bad look over here.
And I'm glad you're doing. Yeah, you look strong. You look fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we come to you being thankful people. We come to you thanking you for your blessings. Thanking for all the things you've already done for us and things that we don't deserve, Lord. But through your marvelous grace, we have those blessings. And we thank you. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you, Lord, for your church here at Barber's Grove. And then, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon Pastor Ed. Now, Lord, as he comes before us today and as he shares the message today, we also want to lift him up, Lord, and give him traveling mercy as he begins his trip, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would be very careful and give him, being very careful as he travels. And be with him, we pray. And then, Lord, we ask a special blessing today, Lord, on those who have asked for prayer today. We continue to pray for Angela. We pray for her. We pray for Kim McElwain. And then, Lord, Wes McNeil, we've been asked, who has the detached retina. We pray for him, Lord, today. We ask to continue blessing upon Brother Jeff Kay and Lori as they're away today and travel. We pray for them today. We pray for traveling mercy for Jeff Kay and for Lori. Then, Lord, we are thankful people again from our son's good report. And then, Lord, as we go, we think of the pastors, the churches with no pastors. We pray for them, Lord, and we pray for guidance for them. Miss Joyce Little, as we lift her up before you, Lord, as she's been battling cancer for some time, but Lord, we know and ask for help for her, and we lift her up to you for your guidance. Rita's mom, we're thankful for her doing as well as she is. We continue to pray for her and Rita and the family. Frances Marion, we want to pray for her this morning as well with cancer. We lift her up to you as day, the Lord. And then for Bobby Jordan, we pray for him with a heart condition, which we pray. And then we pray, Lord, for the McElwain, who has broken his bones. We pray for him, Lord, this morning. And then Aunt Bertie, we pray for her. And continue, Lord, your will be done in her life, Lord. We pray for her. And thank you for Betty's good news and these things. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we're just so thankful that you love us. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our church. And as we go forward into the communion service today, Lord, we want to thank you right now
for your precious blood and given your life that we may have life and more abundantly. Help us to examine our hearts and our lives today before we take this message, to take the Lord's Supper today. And now, Lord, we pray for the continuation of the service, and we lift it up in your name. Amen. As we think about the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us to stand and sing a section this morning in remembrance. In remembrance. And I think that's what the Lord is saying for us, that we should never forget. Never forget what a blessing thing, what a blessed gift it was for us from the death on the cross. So if you would please, let's stand and sing in remembrance. Children, you may be dismissed. Thank you, Wes and Michael up there, for your help this morning. Wes is flying solo, and we thank you. But no, I see you got a great co-pilot up there. Thank you.
Bless you, brother. Leonard was talking about that back to school bash, and then they said in water slide, and then they said adults were invited. I'm going to see which one's the oldest adult that does the water slide.
They don't have a ducking booth. I hope they don't.
Now, you remember in New Testament days, and probably Old Testament days as well, throughout the Roman Empire, there were all types of gods and goddesses. They had their temples and they had their sacrifices. And it's much like the Hebrew sacrifices. You know, if a person wanted to sacrifice to their god or to their goddess, they brought an animal. And the animal was slain and then sacrificed part of it on the altar. And after it was sacrificed on the altar, then the person doing the sacrificing, he got part of the meat to take home with him. The priest doing the sacrificing got part of the animal to take home to his family. But now you think about if you're a priest and over a period of a day's time you sacrificed three bulls, four sheep, and two goats, how much of that meat can your family eat? No refrigeration, no deep freezers. So the excess that the priest couldn't eat was sold at the market. And as you read through Paul's letters, you see that one of the controversies of the New Testament church was this. Can I, as a believer, eat some of that meat that was sacrificed in an idol's temple? And some said yes, some said no, and Paul writes about it in several different places. But eventually he says, boils down to this, what Paul says is, don't do anything that would weaken or harm your brother or sister in Christ. Have a loving attitude toward others. But really what I want to look at this morning is right in the middle of one of those discussions. In the book of Romans, Paul makes a statement that I think we need to consider. Romans 14. And right in the middle of Romans 14, and if you read all the background about that, it's all about this meat sacrificed to idols and everything else. And right in the middle of that, in verse 17 of Romans 14, Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Paul first says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So what you have to eat, what you have to drink, has no bearing on your relationship with God or your salvation. Rich people go to heaven and rich people go to hell. Poor people go to heaven, poor people go to hell. People between the two can go to heaven or to hell. Folks that eat one thing can go to heaven or not. Same way people that eat something else. Paul says the kingdom of God is not what you have to eat and drink. That sort of jives with what Jesus said, you know, when he was in the Sermon on the Mount in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what shall you eat, what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better than they? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O little faith? Therefore take no thought, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, Jesus saying the same thing. He says, my kingdom is not based on what you have or don't have, what you eat or don't eat, what you drink and don't drink. But he says, what is the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. The kingdom of God is, it's not meat or drink, but he says the kingdom of God is righteousness. Who lives in the kingdom of God? People who are in a right standing with the Lord through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't get into the kingdom of God any other way than through a personal relationship with Jesus. Who's in the kingdom? The people who are children of God. People who have been saved. And in that kingdom is righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know, that's the whole picture of the Lord's Supper. His body, his blood, perfect, pure, holy. And on the cross, it says he became our sin. All of the sin of all mankind of all ages absorbed into Jesus. So that when he died on that cross, he paid for every bit of it. Not just the white people's sin or the black people's sin or the some other group's sin. Everybody's sin. He paid for it all. No matter how mild it might seem or how gross and ugly that sin might be, Jesus paid it all. He became our sin that we might be made righteousness, righteous with our Heavenly Father. You know, isn't that wonderful? That Jesus Christ became sin that we might become righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness. But you know, it's not just what we become, but it's what we strive to be. Now, you're as righteous as you're ever going to be in the sense of your relationship with the Lord. He looks at you and he sees you as righteous in Jesus. You're already righteous in the eyes of God. But yet, your desire and my desire should be to live in such a way that we begin to measure up to that righteousness. In the book of 1 Peter, it says, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It says, you know, Paul says to in one of his letters, you imitate me as I imitate Jesus. Well, how did Jesus live? He lived pretty righteously, didn't he? He lived a holy, godly life. And Paul says, I'm striving to be like Jesus. And so I want you to strive to be like Jesus. I want you. Sometimes we try to make excuses. I just can't help myself. I just can't help myself. Well, you know, there's a scripture that says, let not sin therefore rule or reign in your mortal bodies. Oh, that sounds like I got a choice. I can let it or not let it. I can choose to allow sin to rule and reign in my life, or I can choose not to allow sin to reign in my life. And I know it's a battle. You remember Paul says, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing. But then he goes on and says, who can deliver me? And he says, I'm delivered by the power of God. I'm delivered by the power of God. We have choices. We can choose to live a godly life or not live a godly life. That's our choice. Every day we have choices. I mean, you know, once in a while something ugly comes up on my phone. I don't know where it came from. Well, I can say, oh, or I can say, delete, and it's gone. It's my choice. I can get angry and say something ugly to somebody, or I can button it. My choice. All of us have choices. And he says, the kingdom of God is righteousness. One of the things that's distressed and hampered the Christian church in our generation is so many ungodly revelations that have come out in the news. This pastor killed this kid, and this pastor molested this kid, and this deacon did that, and this priest did the other. And it's ungodly choices that people have made. He says, the kingdom of God is righteousness. And we have an ingrained righteousness that comes because of our relationship with Jesus. But we have a righteousness that we should strive for, a godliness, because we want to be like Jesus. You know, once in a while, doesn't happen as much lately as it used to. You walk up to somebody and you know they're telling a dirty story. And they say, oh, preacher. Boy, that story quits. I remember making a visit to somebody that was a church member, not Barbie's Grove. I walked in and they had one of those big screen TVs that make these look like they're small. And I walked in. They kicked a Playboy magazine under the couch. And they flipped the TV off right quick, but not before I saw what was on it. And I'm thinking, how ungodly. No wonder you don't want to go to church. No wonder you don't want to go to church. No striving for holiness or purity at all. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not what you got to eat or drink, but it's righteousness. He also says the kingdom of God is what? Peace. Peace. The kingdom of God is peace. You know, when your sins are forgiven, that's peace. When you know God's not angry with you, that's peace. When we know God is Father and not some judge that's waiting to slap us on top of the head, that's peace. When we know that we have a home in heaven, that's peace. When we lay down at night and we hear the Holy Spirit say, well done, good and faithful servant, you've been good this day. You've honored me this day with your life. That's peace. And you know, it's not only the peace that we have with God. You know, genuine Christians have peace with one another. The Bible says, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Now, some folks aren't going to return it. That's reality. But they can be ugly if they want to. You don't have to be ugly. They can be hateful and unforgiving, but we don't have to be that way. When you read 1 Corinthians 13 and it talks about love being the center, and love keeps no record of wrongs. When love sees the best in others, that leads to peace. Peace. And it's amazing how forgiveness can lead to peace. It's amazing how not holding a grudge can lead to peace. And sometimes there's a quick healing, and sometimes there's a slow healing, but the healing still comes. I don't know whether I should say this or not, but I will anyway. There's some people that over the years couldn't stand me. Church folks. Now, I know you find that hard to believe, but there had been some folks that absolutely hated me. But I didn't hate them in return. I never got up in the pulpit and told them off. Oh, that reminds me. In Chatham County, homecoming is a big deal. When I was at Brush Creek, we'd average about 150 on a Sunday, but for homecoming, we'd have 450. And it was that way with all the churches. People would come back in from Greensboro and Raleigh and everywhere. And so, it wasn't my church, but one of the neighboring churches, preacher gets up and he preaches homecoming. He says, all you visitors, all you people coming back, let me tell you, you think these folks are good? This one's this, and this one's in this sin, and this one's that, and he named names. And I think, they're going to kill him when it's over with. Well, when his service was over with, he called on the most long-winded guy to have the benediction. And when the service was over, they looked around and said, where's the preacher? Somebody says, there's a U-Haul trailer going down the road. He had already packed up and left. While that guy was preaching, he and his family jumped in that U-Haul and took off to Florida. Well, I never did that. And it's amazing how if you don't hold grudges and you forgive people, they come around, and now some of those people, they come up to me and they want to hug my neck. They want to love on me. You see, there's a peace that God gives through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a peace that is ours because of Jesus. The kingdom of God is peace. Real peace. And is there a peace that comes because even in the difficult times of life, you know the presence of the Lord. He says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Real Christianity is a joyous religion. It's a joyous religion. Folks that come in the door ought to experience our joy. Now, I know Brother Jim would agree with me. You've been in some churches where it looks like everybody's mad at one another. I've been there, done that. But it's so much better to be around people that are full of joy. And real, a relationship with the Lord gives joy. I mean, remember the day of Pentecost? They were so full of joy, everybody thought they were drunk. Peter said, no, this is 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. They're just full of the presence of the Lord. I think most of you here will remember business meeting we had about, 6 months ago. And we laughed so much through the business meeting that somebody was going out the door, several people said, I've never been in a business meeting like that before. Just full of joy. I've been in business meetings where people had ugly things to say to one another and went out the door not speaking to each other. Or if they were speaking to each other, it wasn't kind words. But there was joy, real joy. And the joy comes not because of all the time because of wonderful circumstances. look at old Paul. You think about the things that he wrote, and you think about the things he experienced. You think about Paul and Silas in a dungeon, in the innermost dungeon, in the middle of the night, beaten, tied to the stocks. And they're singing praises so loud to the Lord that the prisoners heard them, and there was an earthquake. Amazing joy. Paul writing to his various letters, time and time again, he says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. I enjoy being a Christian. I hope that you do. I know the Puritans of old were known for their long, sad faces and wearing black clothes and looked like they'd been eating prune juice or sour pickles or something. No. You just think about it this way. Little kids don't like to be around sour people. They like to be around people that love them and are full of joy and happiness. And so many little kids were coming to Jesus, the disciples said, go away and take these brats and go somewhere else. And Jesus said, let the little kids come to me. The picture that we used to have in preschool and of Jesus and the little kids of all races gathered around him. I'm sure you had that one in your preschool at some point or Bible school or something. That's the way it was. Jesus had so much joy that he attracted the kids. May that be the kind of joy that we have. That just bubbles over. Just bubbles over. And over the years, I've met some Christians that they were just like magnets because of the joy of the Lord that was in their life. Sometimes we can get the idea of what Christianity really is, wrongly. But in reality, it's a relationship with God that's righteous, leads to righteousness. It's a joy and a peace. And the verse I didn't read there, the next one in verse 18 of Romans 14, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Says if your life is in righteousness and peace and joy, if you serve the Lord in that way and with that attitude and with that manner of lifestyle, your life is acceptable to God, and men will look at you and say, that's a genuine Christian. That's a genuine Christian. They may or may not like you. But when they see you living a holy life, living at peace, even with people who don't want to live at peace with you, when they see you bubbling over with the joy of the Lord, they're going to say, there's a real child of God. And the Father's pleased, men are touched. The Bible says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to myself. And when people see you and I living this way, they'll be drawn to the same Jesus. They'll want the Jesus that they see in us. Now, if they see somebody that's angry, hostile, sad-faced, immoral, ungodly, if that's a Christian, I don't have anything to do with them. But when they see this kind of Christian, they say, you know, maybe I better consider that Christianity is the way to go. As we celebrate the Lord's table, it's a reminder Jesus did pay it all that we might be righteous, that we might have peace, and that we might have joy. I don't have to get my joy out of a bottle or some drug. I can just talk to the Lord and there's joy. I don't have to try to get peace by obliterating my mind, because there's peace with the Lord. And I pray it's the same for you. I know it is for most of you. If you're here and you're never not a believer in Jesus, I pray that you would accept him today. If there's somebody listening later on the website that's not a believer in Jesus, I pray that you will accept him as your Lord and Savior. I welcome you to the Lord's table. Is there anyone that did not get one of these little cups? Okay, I think Kenny over there, maybe Ted. Anyone else? Everybody, I think they may have gotten them in the back. Okay. You can go if you want to check, just be sure. By now, you know, we've used these for a while. You know, you pull off the first little tab and should be a little wafer that symbolizes the body of Jesus. I can't begin to imagine all that his human body endured on that cross, even before the cross. In my childhood, I got a few whippings, or as we called them back then, whoopings. And some of you may have gotten those. But nobody ever hit me with the kind of whip that would have been used on Jesus. I've had been picking blackberries or something and stuck a thorn in my finger. But I've never had a crown of thorns like Jesus had. It's just amazing what Jesus endured for you and me. He didn't have to. As the old song says, he could have called 10,000 angels and been set free. But he didn't. He died alone for you and me. This is his body shed for him. Take and eat. You know, when you pull the second little tab, there's the juice that represents the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission of sin. But in the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That night, Jesus has passed the cup to his disciples. Says, this is my blood shed for you. Take and drink, all of you. May we ever be reminded, God loves you. God loves you tremendously. God loves you to the cross. God loves you, and He wants you in heaven with Him. Oh, what joy and peace that should give us. The Bible says after Jesus and His disciples celebrated that type of communion, it says they sang a hymn and then they went to the Mount of Olives. So Leonard now is going to come lead us in singing, Bless Be the Tithe.